So we're talking about being prepared for action, and I want to get right to it. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Anybody got any plans? Candy, are you in a spot where you feel like you can tell us how old you are today? Because you're never supposed to ask a woman that. You could say no, and I'm fine with that.
I'm 66.
66. Don't look a day over 32. That a girl. Congratulations. 66. What do you have planned for the rest of your life? When you grow up, what do you want to be? Okay. Amen. Amen. You've had a lot go on in the last few years. But you have plans. You have ideas. You had plans that got interrupted by tragedy. And God has still been with you. Think about your own life. What do you want to do? We have a young couple in here that we've been praying for years. Going to have their first baby. Lots of plans. What do you got planned? What do you want to do with the rest of your life? I've been blessed to meet with couples before they get married, and part of what I do is I give them like a questionnaire, and they get to answer those questions. It helps me to get to know them a little bit better, helps them to get to think about themselves and their future and their present, and obviously their spouse, future spouse, more. One of the questions that I ask them is, how many kids do you want? And it's a little bit of a bold question, right? And nearly all of the people that I've done weddings for, and it's been a lot, nearly all of them will give an answer. Very few of them will say, however many the Lord wants us to have. Even though that's probably what they mean. You know, we say, Lord willing, and we mean that. And this isn't like, oh, because Kathy and I have 11 kids, let me tell you how to really be faithful. That's not what that is, right? I'm just saying, can you trust that God has a plan for you and a future for you? You know how pastors are. Jesus loves you, and I've got a great plan for your life, right? It's not trying to say that. Jesus loves you, and he's got a great plan for your life. But what are you going to do with the rest of your time? So in that, we're going to talk about it out of 1 Peter 4. And we're going to look for an answer for us. We've had some great preaching last week, and the idea of us being the kind of people who do not look away from God and don't look away from suffering, but we actually embrace it, not as sadistic people, but as people who are like Jesus. If it was good enough for him, it should be good enough for us. But we love suffering in somebody else. But we're not sadistic, again, and Kathy's very mercy gifted, so we don't want people to suffer, but it's like, wow, look at how you've rallied from sickness, how you've rallied from financial ruin, how you've rallied from smoke in the air that cancels everything you thought was going to be fun for homecoming. Oh, that sounds strangely specific. All right, sorry. Or job problems, or pandemic problems, or familial problems. We've got this God that says, I've got plans for you. Are you going to follow me? What are you going to do with the rest of your time? Let's get to it. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, remember, look at this. Since, like, okay, now that you know this, that he suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Huh. So, wait a minute. If I give my life to Jesus, doesn't he just take over and he gives me a way of thinking? I mean, can anybody argue? God loves you, and if you submit your life to him, then he's in charge, right? I don't know. You and I are talking about this outside, Zach. Do I still have to make decisions to follow him? Oh, okay. Do you arm yourselves with a way of thinking? Let's look at what that means, arm. Look, you know, we've got all kinds of people that would love to talk about being armed, whether it's with guns or with knowledge, or with money, or with whatever other way you think you need to be protected. And we live in a country that we're allowed to have these things. But this idea right here is arming yourself with the same way of thinking. What does that mean? The same way of thinking? Who are we talking about here? So thinking like Jesus thought? Gosh, we're going to need some help to unpack that a little bit. Although, we had a whole message last week about that. Suffering for righteousness' sake. And I'm here to tell you, next week, we're going to talk about suffering again. You're like, oh, cool, thanks. See you in a couple of weeks. No, please, arm your way. Arm yourself in the same way as Jesus. Think in this way. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What? You've suffered in the flesh, then you've ceased from sin. How is that even possible? Those who commit themselves to suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ have said no to their flesh at some point. And like Zach and I were talking, we still have to say no to ourselves over and over again. This is arming yourself with the same way of thinking of Jesus. But here's what it is. You're saying no to sin. You have overcome sin. There's nothing about perfection and no more sinning at all than what we've read and what we will read this morning. But I will say, right off the bat, and this isn't just for those who are ready to fall asleep. This is for us to just like get it, right? Right here, right now. We arm ourselves with the same way of thinking of Jesus, suffering for what's right, saying no to sin. We have shown that we have victory over sin. And you're probably going to have to actually show that off tomorrow too, and later on tonight. And this is this daily taking up your cross like Jesus talked about. It's almost like this whole thing has a thread running through it. Daily take up your cross, deny yourself and follow him. It's just so daily. It just smells like death. It tastes like death. It feels like death. Friend, it's because it's death. We die to ourselves. You don't have to get saved every day, but you remember that you're saved. So let's get to verse 2, and then we'll go to a verse in Ephesians that has been so monumental for me. So check it out. I'll start back at 1 again. I'm sorry. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. We're all living, right? I mean, take a peek around. At this moment, we all got it going. You feel that? You hear that? That breath, as hard as it may be to breathe, you've got it. So you're physically here. You're in the flesh. You're in this body. But as Christians, as Christ ones, we live for God. We live for the will of God. And this is where we can have victory. Hey, keep your finger there and let's go to Ephesians 6. Now, does anybody know right off the bat what's found in Ephesians 6 before we get there? Armor of God. Talk about arming yourself. The armor of God. Y'all, we're born into a battle. It's weird, right? We're born into a middle of a story that's already been going on. This ought to be a good, humbling time to remind you and to remind myself that you and I are not the stars of the show. There's one, the Most High, who's had it figured out from the word go. But he allowed us to be in here. Look, I love this. I've memorized this a while ago. But we've got this armor that God has given us, the armor of God, that we would stand against the enemy, against all the attacks and all that. You got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. God's word is our sword. You have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You have prayer on all occasions. You can extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy with a shield of faith. When all else fails, you can hide behind faith. Some people are like, no, that just sounds weak. Hey, you are weak. We need help. Anybody in here not feel like they need help? You're like, how am I going to raise my hand? We're not going to gang beat you. If you feel like you don't need it, then same. But here's the one that really stood out to me. Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll talk a whole lot more about the sword of the Spirit on another occasion. God's word. Not to whip people, not to stab people, but to stand up and to knock down all kinds of barricades and all kinds of walls and all kinds of strongholds. But this helmet of salvation, can I simply say something, and we'll go back to 1 Peter 4. Think as saved people. We're saved. There's a helmet of salvation. Friends, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. These are kill shots when it comes to ending a life. Head, torso, the heart. Breastplate of righteousness, it's not our own righteousness that protects us. It's the righteousness of God. And we don't think as unsaved people, we think as saved people, set free by the righteousness of Jesus. Just saying a lot about it. Let's go back real quick. Actually, I want to go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is another great reminder. David, I thought of you a lot when I was reading this and getting to it. As a matter of fact, since you're here, would you stand and read Romans 12, 1 and 2, or just recite it from your memory, whatever you prefer? It is also up on the screen if you'd like. Hallelujah. Nice job, bro. Nice job. Don't be conformed. I mean, you get to choose what you think about, right? This whole idea right here is about getting our minds right. This isn't just click your heels three times and say there's no place like home and you'll be set free and NEM, right? And if you don't know what that is, I don't know how to help you. But here's what it is. It's remembering that we're saved. It's arming ourselves with this mind. It's thinking about the right things. This isn't a have to. Friend, this is a get to. Look, in our world, we have a lot of people who are like, look, if you want to love people, then you just kind of let them do what they want to do. No, free will is true. God actually designed us with that. But he never once changed his standard by giving us free will. Never once. And so we get to think about such things as these. Good things, pure things, all that. I even left that part in Philippians out, but you can go to it. But that we wouldn't be conformed, we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know a renewal, right? You got a book from the library. Do you remember the library? Yeah, okay, so there's a book from the library. And it's due back, but you want to read it some more. So you do what? You renew it. You go back and you're like, oh, I still need this. Can I still have it? And God's not like, oh, you need some help, Bill? Sorry. Renew your mind. Spend time in his word. Get our minds right. We get to put on that helmet of salvation. Oh, you mean you can put salvation on and off? No, you're already saved. Think like it. Like, look, instead of feed your sin, instead of feeding fear, instead of feeding all of these things that are strongholds, remember that your stronghold is the Most High God. Friends, we get to think this way. And sometimes we need to be reminded. We have small groups that are going, and not very many of us are in them. Renew our minds. Get together. Help one another. Push one another. Encourage one another. Hold one another up. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4. We'll go 3 through 6. This whole idea right here of renewing your mind is because we're in a world that's a mess. Anybody believe that? One of us. I don't love to just talk about what a mess it is, but I don't have to look very far. Oh, there's a mirror. Okay. Oh, look, there's a world that when the wind blows, poof, there's so much broken, and yet there's so much good. Here we go. Verses 3 through 6. For the time that is past, this is stuff that's already happened, okay? Suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Look, another way for Peter to say this is, look, all the bad stuff that's happened is already over. We don't have to keep doing it. Listen to how he just breaks it down. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. For some people, that sounds like a really fun weekend. For other people, it sounds like a great vacation. For some people, it's their past. For some people, it's a goal for the future. And for some people, it's the mess that it sounds like, and they don't want it anymore. It wants them, but they don't want it. And so they turn from it. 1 Corinthians says that you flee sexual immorality, not have a party about it, not binge watch it. With respect to this, they're surprised when you don't join them in the same flood of debauchery. And they malign you. I'll teach a whole lot more about that next week, but here's the gist of that whole thing. If you don't join in the nastiness around you, people are shocked. And then they're offended. And then they start to mock you. Hallelujah. You want to suffer for something, suffer for right, like we were just talked to last week. Verse 7. No, 6. I'm sorry. Nope, 5. That's my final offer. All right. But they will give account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. Only God can judge me. Bet, friend, he will. Through Jesus or on your own account. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. One more time. For this is why the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, was preached even to those who are dead. Now, some teaching on this is that, like Casey talked about last week, that, oh, this is going back to the people that are dead and they get another second chance. That's not, there's nowhere in the Bible for that. There's a lot of hope for that because, like, oh, I screwed up until I died. Can I get a second chance? You got this chance. You're breathing. This is like get your mind right conversation, right? But those that are dead in their trespasses is one way. Like they're being talked to. All of us were dead, but now we're not though because of who Jesus is. I mean, I wish it was all of us. I don't know everybody's story. But in Christ Jesus, you can be made alive, but you were dead first. Dead in your trespasses, he made us alive, it says in Ephesians 2. So that's kind of where I lean towards, but it could be also talking about those who got killed for their faith. Could be talking about martyrs, and that's cool too. I think there's a little bit of a stretch on that, but not enough to say, no, that's wrong. Because it's talking like they got judged by the world and got killed for it, but they're alive in Jesus. I mean, shoot, we don't lose in Jesus Christ. We don't lose, we die. Oh, gosh, we're forever alive with him in his presence. You stay here, I'm going to preach to the people that are here. I get to show them off in jail, in prison, at school. Some people think that's like prison, but the truth is, it's not, and it doesn't have to be. If you're in this world, there's a reason for that. He's got purpose for us. We get to be here, and we get to show people how to be alive. Look, really quick, we're going to turn to Proverbs 29:25. It's got like this reality to it that's so convicting and so beautiful. The fear of man lays a snare. I got my dear friend Alan here. he among many of us in here have been or are hunters. You lay a snare, you lay a trap, you're looking to trap something. You want it to be caught up. Fear of man is a trap. And many of us get caught up in that. I don't want to sound stupid, so yeah, maybe I'll just go along with them to the party. Maybe I'll just go along with them and making fun of somebody. Maybe I'll just go along with them and spending my money just for me, just to keep up with people who don't really even pay attention to me in the first place. Fear of man lays a snare. It's a trap. But, I love this, a big but of the Bible, whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. 1 Peter 4:7, we'll go back there. I love this. Peter's constantly talking about the end times. The end of all things is at hand. So then he calls us to get in our minds right again. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. One more time. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Look, you guys, I won't even unpack it, but go look up Red Heifer and watch how people are tripping out. Jesus is coming back. Yeah, I hope so. You know that every generation has thought that, but we've had way more stuff going on, at least in our lifetimes, than has ever happened before. And so people are like, look, the end of all things is near. So what does he say? Sell everything. Go just get into a commune and just pile the salt. Right here. He says, be self-controlled and sober-minded. Be clear. I got three words for you. Be calm, cool, and conversing. Talk with God. Get your mind right. Talk with God. Hear from God. Make him known. Share about him. Another way to look at this, and you guys can go read this in the book of Nehemiah, watch and pray. Like, I love it. He told these guys, work on the wall and keep your hand on your sword. Kind of do your thing while keeping an eye out. Hey, watch and pray. Pray and keep your eye, one eye open. Not because you don't trust, but you might get your head knocked off. So, talk to God and be aware of what's going on around you. Be self-controlled. Self-control comes from the Holy Spirit, by the way. Self-control comes from giving up control of your life to God. Gosh, it's just so rad how all this works together. You're going to have to daily take up your cross and deny yourself. Follow him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things you need will be added to you. Hey, ask in my name, and it'll be given to you. If you're asking in Jesus' name, you want what he wants. You may ask for something and not get it. He may not want that for you. Oh, but I have to ask, seek, and knock. I'll just start pounding on the door. Cool. As long as it builds up God's kingdom, watch him bless it. If it's not happening for those purposes, look for what he does have for you. Maybe he wants to develop some spiritual muscle in you. Maybe he wants you to really get to the spot where, look, I'm willing to suffer. I don't have to give in to sin. I'm done with sin ruling my life. Again, there's nothing in it that says you'll never sin again. It says sin doesn't rule. You're dead to sin, and like it does not control who you fully are. Lots more to that, but we're going to finish. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Who does this sound like? Jesus. Love God with all that you have. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the two most important commands. Above all, love. God first, and then others and yourself. since love covers a multitude of sins, let me just say, can we look at the most important love? God. God is love. He covered our sins. Chrissy, what's so amazing about grace? It's so good. It's been in my head all week. What's so good? What's so amazing about grace? Oh, just that it's God and you couldn't do anything to deserve it, and he willingly gave it for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Thank you, Lord. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. More on that on the Live It Out video. Hoo-wee! I'm married to a hospitable woman. I grumble when she's hospitable. Much less when I'm hospitable. Oh, Casey, amen. Boy, your elders need prayer. Pray for your elders. Show hospitality. Be good to people without grumbling about it. You've got nothing that wasn't given to you. Nothing. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Woo! You've been given a gift for other people, not just for you. A lot of us get gifts and we think, how can I monetize this? How can I be noticed for this? How can I do something that'll bring attention to me? How can I build my legacy? Oh gosh, it's for other people. And you do so as good stewards, good managers of God's varied grace. And varied grace, he unpacks it in verse 11. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, not just teaching and prophecy, but like spending time speaking the truth of God to one another. Whether you're up front, whether you have some crazy platform, or you just have daily interaction, which really is the vast majority of everybody. We have daily interaction, the oracles of God. These are God's words. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. I'm going to tell you right now, and I know this is kind of like a volleyball or a pumpkin. It's just laid up for you right here. But you'll see that the gifts are from God. You can only use them by the strength of God for the glory of God. And you can check that out in Romans 12. You can check it out in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. But this one's really, really cool for me. Whoever serves by the strength that God supplies. Sometimes, you guys, you can only do so much. Can somebody remind me who the 5,000 plus people in one setting and 4,000 plus people, who fed them? Jesus. With what? Well, what they had. His miracle. Hey, what do you have? A sack lunch, but what good's that? Oh, have them sit down. This is so good. You can't come with something that you don't have. You don't have to be somebody else. You can't be somebody else. But you can be who God's called you to be with what God has given you, and you give it back to him, and you watch. He's the one that makes it work. You don't tell God what to do. He tells you what to do. So do it. Live it out. I love this part, right? This is how it finishes. If you speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. God gave you the word, speak it. This one preacher, I still can't believe that I saw this on Right Now Media. He got up front at this conference, and he's like, I've known I was going to be here for a long time. I just didn't know what to share. So I'm just up here just kind of testify, which is cool in of itself, but I'm like, you don't know what to share? You got 66 amazing, living, and active books. And you don't know what to share? Just read it then, out loud. See what happens then. Okay, so with that, speak the oracles of God. Whoever serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why do we do what we do? Because God did what he did. Because he's called us to be his people. He's gifted us to be his people. Don't have gift envy. Do what he's called you to do. Be who he's called you to be. Live where your feet are. And then finally, I just have a few things to remind you of. Keeping the main thing, right? The main thing is God. Keep focused on him. Keep trusting him. Keep believing him. Keep your mind there. Think of saved people. Love God and love others. This is a great reminder. We don't just have that as a vision or as a purpose statement or as a hope. This is the target literally on the wall. Love God and grow in that. Grow in your knowledge. Grow in your wisdom. It'll better come out in what you do. And that's going to look like loving others. And I don't have yourself in there, but please, you're tied for second most important person in the whole entire world. Tied. You're not more important, but you're tied for the most important person in this world. You are supposed to take care of yourself. And I want to remind you of this. What are you doing with the rest of your time? It's time for us, friends. We're prepared for action. Sometimes you got to be prepared to slow down. But I think many of us are really accustomed to just like, I'll just kind of wait this one out. What are you afraid of? You cannot lose in Jesus Christ. If you suffer, watch him shape you through it. You're going to be more like him. Mind over matter, right, is what we've heard over and over again. So arm yourself with the same way of thinking of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I want to be prepared for action. I want to live like you. I want to be like you. I want to share you with people all over the place. God, I am so ill-prepared sometimes for that. And I know that some of my friends here are as well. But I don't want to be so stuck on getting prepared that I don't walk it out. I want to thank you for something as simple as verse 9 that says, show hospitality without grumbling. God, if that might be the only step that I have today, then I look forward to it. And may I do that work of hospitality without grumbling. But God, I pray for my friends, my brothers, and my sisters. There's some here that have not submitted to you. So though we're human beings together on this planet, we don't have you as our daddy in common. And so I pray that today, right this very second, that any man, woman, or child that is here would humble themselves. They'd submit to you that you're God and they're not. That they would indeed believe that you died for them, paying a price that they owed but couldn't pay. And that they would believe that you rose from the dead. They would be set free and they would live it. For all of us who have been stumbling along somewhere, we've made that confession, but we're just struggling. God, may we remember that what we've been given is in order that we would glorify you and that we would step up and do so. And for those of us who are just clipping along, doing great, really stoked about you, suffering, but like excited about it even, like some weirdos, but really good weirdos. God, may we be an example and may we follow your example over and over again. Help us to think as saved people. And to live is saved people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.